The activists for the group PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, go after some of the most powerful companies in the U.S. They want to change the way the country treats animals. Some say they've won their latest victory against a Goliath of corporate America, McDonald's. Daniel Zwerdling continues our report.
Forget the image of scruffy protesters working out of someone's apartment. PETA started that way 20 years ago, but visit their headquarters today. PETA owns a sleek office building with huge windows that look out over the harbor in Norfolk, Virginia. When some of the staff gather to plan the fight against yet another corporation, they lay out the same kinds of strategies you'd use in a political campaign. They've become masters at the internet.
One of the things that we can do is with our email activist or action alerts, we have more than 1.5 million visitors a month.
So that people could go to the website, they could see the poster, they could download it, and then they could just make it work in their community.
It's activism made easy, just to be able to download.
And the record suggests their tactics often work. PETA went after Calvin Klein for promoting furs, and he stopped. PETA attacked General Motors and Gillette for using animals in safety tests. Both corporations stopped. PETA's president, Ingrid Newkirk, says they eventually want the world to give animals the same rights as people. But in the meantime, they'll pressure companies that symbolize an industry to treat animals a little better.
It was pretty easy to settle on McDonald's because they're the giant of the fast food industry, and their name is instantly recognizable all over the world. And the numbers of animals they use to go into those burgers and those Egg McMuffins is just extraordinary. So we knew that if we could get McDonald's to change, which was no easy task, that the other fast food restaurants might fall like Skittles.
The way PETA saw it, McDonald's was vulnerable. Consumers over in Europe were all fired up about animal welfare. They were getting their governments to pass laws that told food companies exactly how to raise their animals. Industry officials back in this country were worried that the same thing would happen here. So PETA figured that McDonald's executives had a choice. They could seem to drag their feet on animal welfare. PETA would keep harassing them, and eventually lawmakers might order industry to change. Or McDonald's could lead the campaign for animal welfare, and they'd impress consumers as the company that cares. Maybe they'd head off legislation. 3 years after PETA launched its protests, McDonald's became the first major food company to tell farmers you have to treat animals more humanely. McDonald's executives, like Bob Langer, say PETA had nothing to do with it.
No, I think exactly the opposite.
Bob Langert says, come on, McDonald's has been studying animal welfare issues for years. He says the company would have announced its policy even if PETA had never launched protests.
I think those tactics are not effective towards educating the public. As a matter of fact, they're not accurate, so they tend to provide only misinformation that doesn't help the cause.
But sources in the business community say, of course PETA helped the cause. If the cause is getting McDonald's to promote animal welfare, industry analysts also say that both sides deserve credit. They say PETA pressured McDonald's at just the right time, and the company's executives had the vision to act. Bruce Friedrich led PETA's war on McDonald's. Now he's praising them.
A corporation, for the first time, is taking responsibility for the suffering of animals, and it's a corporation on the size and scale of McDonald's. So it is an unprecedented, positive move forward for animals in the United States of America.
And these birds, you can see as we're standing here, are getting a lot more interested in us, and they're starting to face us now. They're curious. They want to know what we're doing.
Back at the egg farm in Michigan, the team with McDonald's is looking back at the hens. They're checking how the farmers are complying with the new animal welfare guidelines. And this is one of the keys to the company's program. Inspectors from the food industry will visit all the operations that sell eggs to McDonald's, and they'll enforce the policies.
The main thing I'm looking at is I kind of take a long view down the middle of the aisle, so if we can kind of step to the left here. And
one of the inspectors is Rosalind Zills. She says conditions on this farm have always been good compared to a lot of farms around the country. But still, these farmers had to get better. McDonald's told all their suppliers to take roughly half the hens out of the cages by January 1st this year, so the birds have a little room to move. That means that every farmer has to build more hen houses and buy thousands of extra cages.
Next thing that I do is I start bird counts. So in this cage, we've got 5 birds in here. And We're looking to see that the caretakers aren't just putting an extra bird here and there without, you know, thinking about where they're putting the birds.
And McDonald's told the farmers to stop so-called forced molting. According to the guidelines, they can't ever take food away from the hens again. One of the scientists who helped write these guidelines is Joy Mensch from the University of California. McDonald's asked Mensch and other respected researchers to tell the company how to change. Mensch says they persuaded McDonald's to ban another common practice. Farmers can't cut off the hens' beaks anymore. They can only snip off the tips. Mensch is following Rosalind Zills to see how the inspection's working.
What would you do if you found a certain percentage of birds with, what would be the remedial steps if there were problems with the beak trimming?
One of the things that we really have worked on up front is making sure loud and clear that the beak trimming is a very, very important issue here. And if they had a bad beak program, that would probably be almost a disqualifier from the get-go. Okay.
Joy Mensch says if you were a hen, your life would be better now. No question about that. But she says the industry has a long way to go. The farm tour is over now. The McDonald's team has gone home. And Mensch is processing what she's just seen. She says these birds still don't have enough room to do all kinds of things that hens like to do. They can't flap their wings or preen or even hop on a perch.
It bothers me, but I don't think that we have a good alternative.
Mensch says researchers haven't figured out yet how farmers can raise hens more naturally and still make a profit, except on a small scale. And she says McDonald's is just beginning to think about how they could improve the lives of other animals, like the chickens that you eat, and cattle, and hogs.
I think McDonald's is moving pretty quickly, considering how major the changes are that have to occur. And I really think that the best approach to this is to work with animal welfare scientists and to work with the supplier-producer community so that everybody works together on the change.
So when you think of all the years you've spent researching chickens, how many years?
20.
Can you compare the changes that have occurred in the last 2 years to the changes in the previous 18?
Yes, there were no changes in the previous 18. They've all taken place in the last couple of years. So it's like after a lot of years of talking about it, all of a sudden, it really just changed almost overnight.
And now the rest of the food industry is trying to catch up, which is just what PETA was hoping. Wendy's and Burger King launched similar programs, which they've modeled on McDonald's. And industry leaders say they're drafting guidelines which every restaurant chain could follow. There's been a shift in public opinion, one executive says. The entire food industry is concerned now about animal welfare. I'm Daniel Zwerdling for NPR News and American Radio Works.
American Radio Works is the joint documentary project of Minnesota Public Radio and NPR News. For more on this story, you can visit our website, npr.org.